worship today. I've been encouraged by your presence. I've been encouraged by your words of edification. And I look forward to being with you for the rest of our time tonight as we consider the example and the character of Job. And I'll have to admit to you that when I first got the email that I was going to be speaking on Job, I was kind of frightened for a moment. I began to think, how in the world am I going to put the whole book of Job into a 30-minute sermon? But as I thought about it more and more, I realized that really the story of Job, the book of Job, could be summarized in one idea. And that is the endurance of Job. And James speaks about that to us here in James chapter 5, that Job was a man of endurance. Job was a man of perseverance. He suffered in so many different ways. But he persevered and he endured through each and every one of them. And so I want to begin by just going back and reading this text again and getting it to our minds and consider what James is telling us here. To look at the book of Job by looking at James chapter 5, begin reading with me again in verse 7. Therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. The farmer waits for the precious produce of the soil, being patient about it until it gets the early and late rains. You too be patient. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. Do not complain, brethren, against one another, so that you yourselves may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing right at the door. As an example, brethren, of suffering and patience, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. We count those blessed who endure. You have heard of the endurance of Job and have seen the outcome of the Lord's dealings, that the Lord is full of compassion and is merciful. I find it amazing that even here in the New Testament, Job is still considered as a man of endurance. Here as James is wrapping up the end of this book, his letter, he gives this attention to suffering and the persecution and suffering that his readers were going through. That the rich were bringing down persecutions on the people of God. And James is giving them this strong encouragement to overcome by looking at those who have endured with patience. Like the prophets of old. You think about prophets like Jeremiah and many others who endured great persecution, great hostility. And he points us to the example of Job. Specifically, Job and his immense endurance as he suffered beyond what many of us can't even begin to comprehend. And imagine the things that Job went through. And so tonight, I want to consider the endurance of Job. And consider four ways that Job endured through the hardships of life. And how we might suffer in many ways in similar situations. And also what we must keep in mind when it comes to enduring our own sufferings, just like Job endured his. The first lesson I think is important for us to see is that Job endured loss. Look at Job chapter 1 with me. Turn back to the book of Job. Job suffered a great deal of loss in his life. In the first 5 verses, we're introduced to Job and his character. We find that Job is a blameless man. He is upright. He fears God. He turns away from evil. He was a godly man in the ultimate sense of the word. But not only that, Job was a blessed man. If you look at verse 3, we're told in Job 1 and verse 3 that Job possessed 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys, and very many servants. And that man was the greatest of all the men in the east. Job had a great deal of blessings in his life. He had a large family. But I want you to notice what happened starting in verse 6. As Job is described as being this blessed man, notice what happens starting in verse 6. Job 1 and verse 6 says this, "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. The Lord said to Satan, 'From where did you come?' And Satan answered the Lord and said, 'From roaming about on the earth and walking around on it.' The Lord said to Satan, 'Have you considered my servant Job? For there is no one like him on the earth. He is a blameless and upright man, fearing God and turning away from evil.' And Satan answered the Lord, "Does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him and his house and all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hand and his possessions and have increased in the land. But put forth your hand now and touch all that he has. He will surely curse you to your face." Then the Lord said to Satan, "Behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not put forth your hand on him." So Satan departed from the presence of the Lord. And now on the day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house, a messenger came to Job and said, "The oxen were plowing and the donkeys feeding beside them, and the Sabaean attacked and took them. They also slew the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, another also came and said, "The fire of God fell from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I alone have escaped to tell you." And while he was still speaking, another also came and said, "The Chaldeans formed three bands and made a raid on the camels and took them and slew the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you." And while he was still speaking, another also came and said, "Your sons and your daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house, and behold, a great wind came from across the wilderness and struck the four corners of the house, and it fell on the young people, and they died, and I alone have escaped to tell you." And Job arose and tore his robe and shaved his head. He fell to the ground and worshiped, and he said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And through all this, Job did not sin, nor did he blame God. Can you imagine being in Job's situation here? Can you imagine the extent of the loss that Job faced in his life? Job responds to this terrible and tragic situation with endurance and grace. I have a hard time wrapping my mind around the depth to which Job suffered, comprehending what he has gone through as moment after moment, these servants come and they tell him that you've lost this or you've lost that, you've lost your sons, you've lost everything to your name. And notice how Job responds, "Naked I came from my mother's womb and naked I shall return there. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Can you imagine the endurance of Job? Can you imagine his faithfulness? How was Job able to endure all of that? I think Job recognized that everything good comes from God, and that ultimately it is God's to take away if he so wishes to do that. And you know, the reality is that we may never lose as much as Job did at one time. But it is undeniable that in this life we will suffer a great deal of loss. There are things that happen to us in life where we lose many things. We lose our possessions due to different circumstances. We lose family members and loved ones. There will be times when we lose our possessions because of theft and deterioration and incidents. We live in a broken world and we lose things. Bad things happen to everyone. Not just good people, not just bad people. It happens to all of us. But Job recognized just how blessed he was, and he knew that if good things could happen to him, so could bad things, and he was at peace with that. But how was he able to endure and get past this horrible day in his life? And I'm convinced that Job was able to endure, that Job was able to persevere and move forward and press on. In the same way that James is telling his readers to do the same thing, to look for something better. To realize that this life is temporary. It is momentary. You're here just for a short time, and there's something far greater that is awaiting you. And so you may suffer loss here in this world, but there's something so far greater that can never compare to this life. And knowing that this life has its difficulties that way, ought to cause us to long for something greater, where we will be with God in heaven for all of eternity. We don't have to worry about that anymore. And I think it's important that we also recognize there is more to life than simply possession. I think Job understood that as well. There is so much more to life than simply what we have here. He lost essentially everything he had. What is our response when those times come? Are we so wrapped up in what we have in these material possessions that we lose our sight, that we lose our vision of what we have to look forward to? Jesus says we could gain the whole world. What does it profit us if we forfeit our soul? And so it's all about perspective, keeping our eyes on what is to come, laying up our treasures in heaven, where nothing will be destroyed. There's a second way that Job endures here. Number two, Job endures physical suffering. If you look at chapter 2 with me, look at the physical things that Job suffered in his life. Job chapter 2, look at verses 1 through 10 with me. Job 2, verses 1 through 10. Notice what we're told here. Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said to Satan, "Where have you come from?" And Satan answered and said, "From roaming about on the earth and walking around on it." The Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? For there is no one like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, fearing God and turning away from evil. And he still holds fast in his integrity, although you incited me against him to ruin him without cause." And Satan answered the Lord and said, "Skin for skin. Yes, all that a man has he will give for his life. However, put forth your hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse you to your face." So the Lord said to Satan, "Behold, he is in your power, only spare his life." And Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. And he took a potsherd and scraped himself while he was sitting among the ashes. Then his wife said to him, "Do you still hold fast your integrity? Curse God and die." But he said to her, "You speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God and not accept adversity?" And in all this, Job did not sin with his lips. Here is Job has endured this great loss, more than we can ever begin to imagine and wrap our minds around. If that weren't enough, Job experiences great physical suffering as he is smoked from his head to his feet with boils. And Satan says, sure, Job may have held fast his integrity. Job may have held fast his faithfulness to you when he lost all his possessions, but let me touch his flesh. Let me touch his bone, and surely Job will curse you to your face. And yet Job responds with great endurance, great perseverance. God boasts of Job's faithfulness, of his endurance, of his integrity. And Satan places doubt in Job, and that Job would abandon his faith if only I touched his body. And he smoked with boils from his head to his foot. Can you imagine that? I never had that in my life. I don't want to have that ever. But can you imagine being in such pain and such agony that he takes a potsherd, a piece of pottery, and he has to scrape himself with it? It's hard to wrap my mind around. How was he able to endure that? How was he able to endure such pain and misery and agony and still hold on to his faith? And how can we do the same when you and I go through physical sufferings of life? Because they're going to happen. As we move through this life, we're going to have physical things that happen to us. And you probably recognize that more than I do in many different ways. How do we endure all those times? I think it begins by recognizing that we live in a broken world because of sin. It happened all the way back in Genesis chapter 3 when Adam and Eve sinned by eating of the fruit that God told them not to command. And death occurred that day, not only spiritually, but also physically as it went on from there. You know, it'd be nice if we never had to endure any kind of physical suffering in this life. If we could pass from this life and never have to endure any of those kinds of things, but it will ultimately happen to us. what causes us to endure, what gives us great comfort and assurance in enduring those times, is understanding that they are just light momentary afflictions. That ultimately one day this corruptible will put on the incorruptible, 1 Corinthians 15, and we will be raised to die no more. None of what we suffer in this earthly body will matter anymore. We will be with God for all of eternity, knowing that there's something better on the other side. I want you to consider what John tells us about this in Revelation chapter 21. Turn over there with me. Revelation 21. And a beautiful passage that speaks to this very idea. Revelation chapter 21, starting in verse 1. Revelation chapter 21, starting in verse 1, John says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and first earth passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and He will dwell among them. And they shall be His people, and God Himself will be among them. And He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no longer any death. There will be no longer any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away.' And He who sits on His throne said, 'Behold, I am making all things new.' And He said, 'Write, for these words are faithful and true.'" What a beautiful passage to consider in our minds. What a beautiful thought to know that the physical suffering in this life is only momentary. That's hard to realize sometimes in the moment. It's hard to shift our eyes and shift our mind to think about that it is only light and momentary. Because there are many times it doesn't seem that way in the world that we live in. John tells us that there's going to come a day when we will bask in God's glory. We will be with Him forevermore. And there's not going to be any more death, no more pain, no more suffering, no more crying if we have been obedient to Him. We ought to take comfort in that. We ought to take great assurance in that. And let that be something that motivates us to endure whatever physical suffering we may have to go through in this life. But consider a third lesson. Number 3, Job endured a difficult spouse. We've read this already in Job chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. Turn back there with me. Job chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. Notice what this text says to us again. As Job has been smote with boils from his head to his feet, notice what Job's wife says, verse 9. "Then his wife said to him, 'Do you still hold fast your integrity? Curse God and die.' But he said to her, 'You speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God and not accept adversity? And in all this, Job did not sin with his lips." If it wasn't enduring loss, if it wasn't enough to endure loss and physical suffering, now Job has to deal with his wife, who is telling him to give up his faith. Stop serving God. Curse God and die. Just quit. Don't keep going through this anymore. His wife adds insult to injury by encouraging him to denounce his faith, to denounce God, and just give up. I often wonder, when you read through the book of Job, what kind of woman Job's wife was. And this text says something about that. But Job has lost everything. He has lost his possessions, he has lost his family, and the only thing that he has left is his wife. And his wife is telling him, stop serving God. Give up on your faith. His wife insulted him. His wife is telling him not to serve God anymore and only adds to the sufferings that he is already going through. And yet Job endured even that. Job was faithful and persevered even through that time. How did he do that? How was he able to continue to do what he needed to do as a husband when his wife had mistreated him and done him wrong? How can we overcome having a spouse who may mistreat us and discourage us from serving God? It may be that here, someone here this evening has a spouse who isn't a Christian and they're trying to discourage you from serving God. How do we endure those moments? I think we can endure that by understanding and knowing that if we'll do our part as husbands and wives, if we will live the way that God would have us to live, that we serve as an example to our spouses who are not Christian and who may not be serving God. Look over to 1 Peter 3 with me. 1 Peter chapter 3. Notice what Peter says to his recipients. 1 Peter chapter 3. Peter chapter 3, I want you to pick up with me in verse 1. And notice what Peter says to his readers. In the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives. As they observe your chaste and respectful behavior, your adornment must not be merely external, braiding the hair and wearing gold jewelry and putting on dresses, but let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. For in this way, in former times, the holy women also, who hoped in God, used to adorn themselves, being submissive to their own husbands. Just as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, and you have become her children if you do what is right without being frightened by any fear. You husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way, as with someone weaker, since she is a woman, and show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers will not be hindered. To sum up, all of you, be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit, not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead. For you were called for this very purpose, that you might inherit a blessing. The fact is that it may be that someone here has a spouse who is trying to discourage them from serving the Lord. And the way we endure all of that is by being mindful that our example to them may turn them around in obedience to the gospel. The woman that Peter talks about, whose husband is disobedient to God, isn't just to up and leave him simply because he isn't the kind of man he needs to be. Instead, she's to continue to fulfill her role as a wife in the hope that her example might motivate her husband to do as he ought to do in his obedience to God. She serves as an example by pointing him to the Lord. We are to display the same kind of characteristics that Peter talks about here that will help bring a great blessing to us. It may be difficult to endure these moments where our spouse may mistreat us or speak evil about us, may try to discourage us from serving God. There may be words that are said that leave a lasting impact for days upon days. Your spouse may hurt you by their words, and there are times that it is difficult to move forward. But the key to enduring all of this is to be reminded, though it may take years for them to see, that by your example, by living Christ-like, you may be turning them around in their obedience to God. I often wonder how Job's wife would have responded in this moment. We're not told what she says, but I wonder if Job's words had an impact on her, if maybe it changed her life. And so hold fast, don't give up, but patiently endure, knowing that by your example you may win your spouse to Christ as you endure what's in front of you. Lest way that Job endured is that he endured unjust accusations. Job endured unjust accusations and mistreatment by his own friends. If you look back at Job chapter 2 with me. Job chapter 2, we see as Job's friends come to console him. And what happens as a result of that, as the text goes on. Job chapter 2, verse 11. Consider what is said in Job chapter 2, verse 11, as Job endures mistreatment and unjust accusations from his friends. It says in verse 11, now when Job's three friends heard of all this adversity that had come upon him, they came each one from his own place, Eliphaz the Temanite, Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite. And they made an appointment together to come and sympathize with him and comfort him. When they lifted up their eyes at a distance, they did not recognize him, and they raised their voices and wept. And each of them tore his robe and threw dust over their heads. toward the sky. Then they sat down on the ground with him for 7 days and 7 nights, and no one spoke a word to him, for they saw that his pain was very great. In the beginning, Job's friends do the right thing. Here, Job's friends come to console him, and they're doing well just by being there for their friend. They're there to weep with him and mourn with him as he goes through this great deal of suffering in his life. They don't even recognize him. They come to encourage him. But as the text goes on, we find everything becoming a large mess. Because they accuse Job that the reason all is happening to him is because Job has sinned. They do good when they don't say anything to him, but as the text goes on, they accuse him of things that Job is not guilty of. And throughout the rest of the book of Job, he is accused over and over again, and he is genuinely hurt by his friends in these accusations, and yet he endures all the way through them. How did he do that? How was Job able to overcome these unjust accusations, this mistreatment from his own friends who ridiculed him for his suffering? I think we overcome by recognizing that our faith in God, our walk with the Lord, will cause us to be a target of slander by many people in the world. As we seek to walk with the Lord on a daily basis, we are targets in the world that we live in. We will face a lot of accusation and mistreatment from the people around us simply because we are children of God trying to live godly in an ungodly world. We face persecution. We face opposition. We face mistreatment. And I know that Satan would love for us to be hounded to the point where we just give up our faith. Satan would have been so joyful to see Job just completely give up on his faith. But he endured through this difficult and trying time. And when we find in the book of James, as James is encouraging his readers to endure, they're going through the same kind of thing. And they were certainly not the first kind of people to suffer for their faith. In fact, Jesus was very upfront and clear with us in the Gospels, his followers, that if we're going to follow Jesus, we're going to face the same kinds of things. We're going to be ridiculed for who we are and what we believe in. The world may not bring peace. This world isn't our home, and there are going to be many times that things don't go the way we expect them to go. But I think we find comfort. We find endurance knowing that Jesus isn't asking us to do anything He hasn't done already. That Jesus has paved the way for us of how to endure all these kinds of things. Look over at 1 Peter chapter 2 with me. Notice what Peter says about Jesus' example. 1 Peter chapter 2. Jesus is our perfect example of what it means to endure suffering. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 19. Verse 21, sorry. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. Peter tells us this: "For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in His steps, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in His mouth. And while being reviled, He did not revile in return. While suffering, He uttered no threats, but kept entrusting Himself to Him who judges righteously. And He Himself bore our sins in His body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by His wounds you were healed. For you were continually straying like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls." How did Jesus endure all the things that He went through? How did Job endure all the things that he went through? The unjust accusations, this mistreatment. And the idea here, the key idea is in verse 23. "While being reviled, He did not revile in return. While suffering, He uttered no threats, but kept entrusting Himself to Him who judges righteously." If we will endure, if we will keep the faith, if we will entrust ourselves to Him who judges righteously, we will finish our course. We will keep the faith. We'll finish the path in front of us. And so those are all the things Job went through. the sufferings upon sufferings, and yet he endured through every single moment. You know, sometimes life is just hard. Sometimes life is difficult. It is hard to take one step in front of the other many times in life. Things happen one right after the other. And it calls us to be people of endurance. And maybe we look at the actions of Job when those times come. Maybe we look at the endurance and perseverance of Job and look to how he endures, and we may do the same as we're faced with trials in this life. And when we have overcome them, when we have gone through them and endured through them, may we give God the glory for giving us strength and direction in those moments of life. I want to end by sharing something with you that has encouraged me through the moments when it was hard to keep going on. There's a poem that a good preaching friend of mine shared with me that has helped me through these moments of life. The poem is titled, "When Life Gets Wearisome, Remember Where You're Going." When the road seems long, and every turn is hard, when it's a struggle to continually go on, and there's nobody near to cheer you along, remember where you're going. When the loads of life are heavy, when its burdens keep shifting, and when breath is hard to get, remember where you're going. When progress seems slow, when you take two steps only to fall back one, and it would seem to be easier to quit, remember where you're going. When the end seems so far away and the path keeps getting harder, with so many hills yet to climb, each one steeper than the last, remember where you're going. When you find that getting closer doesn't make it any easier, when you're inside of the end and the last mile seems to be the most difficult, remember where you're going. When you finally get there, when you cross the finish line, and you look back at the trail with all of its difficulties, and when you can finally take a deep breath and realize it's over, you will look back at what made you keep on, that you remember where you were going. Brothers and sisters, we can just remember where we're going. It ought to give us great endurance and great perseverance to know there's something far greater awaiting us than just this momentary life and the troubles that it brings. Where are you tonight on that journey? Where are you this evening as you seek to walk with the Lord and give Him your life? Maybe you're not a child of God and you feel like your life is broken to pieces, that everything is shattered before you, that you don't have any purpose or direction or meaning to life, and you're striving for something to give you meaning, to give you fulfillment and satisfaction. I want you to realize that the only thing that can do that for you is the Lord. He is the only thing that brings any meaning or satisfaction or fulfillment to life. And so I'd encourage you tonight to come to Him in obedience to the gospel, to be baptized into Christ and rise to walk in newness of life and go on your way with endurance. Maybe as a child of God, you've been struggling with that. Maybe there have been times that have come up in your life and you just haven't handled it in the right way. Maybe you've gone off course. You need to get back on course. If we can help you tonight, in your endurance, in your walk with God, won't you come now as we stand and sing this song, and sing this song, and